Hello. Before we begin, I want to tell you that from this week we'll be going back to only having the sermon on these podcasts. If you've enjoyed listening to the whole service, you can still find the recording on our YouTube channel, or you can join us live on Sunday mornings. We'll be at beaverparish.co.uk/live from 11 a.m. We hope to see you there. Welcome to the sermon podcast from Beaver Parish Church.
Everyone, thanks for being here again, and thank you to those who've just been sharing those little clips with us. That's been very helpful. Sometimes being an outsider is something in our minds. We think we don't fit in, so guess what? We don't. But on most occasions and in most situations, it's because we, the people who are on the inside or who know everything or part of the setting up of everything, have actually either created the situation so that it is like that, or we haven't made the real effort to make sure that it is open and welcoming and that others can feel they can be part of it. And of course, there's some serious issues around this subject. Things like race and education, people's personal circumstances or the clothes or lack of them that they think they have to wear, language, familiarity, the culture, the customs, all those things, whatever it is, it's expecting an awful lot of an outsider to leap over all the barriers and through all the hoops to try to find a way to the inside of all of that. I think there is something on the majority that has to be taken seriously. Someone said something like, democracy was never meant to be ruled by the majority. It was always meant to be a safe place to be a minority, protected and cared for by the majority. Now, if someone famous hasn't said that, I would like to lay claim to it because it's a great thought. Now, God, in some ways, is like majority. And yet, when he looks at us, who are the outsiders, so to speak, in the whole salvation plan, he doesn't look at us with criticism and condemnation and moaning and groaning and wanting to squash us or ignore us or treat us badly. Rather, Good Friday speaks of something really that is quite countercultural in how God treats those who are on the outside. The big question for us as a church is, are we going to be like God? Or are we going to be like so much of the bad stuff that we see around us? So today's Bible story from Acts 15. The previous episode, if there was one, shows that the baddie from a couple of weeks ago, Paul, has pushed on past last week's story, which was Samaria. Remember that no-go place that I talked about last week? Paul and Barnabas have pushed on and are right at the edge of the nation and the culture and the religion. And there's two things happen at a place like that. One is that as you get further and further from the centre, things get diluted. So the culture and everything isn't quite as strict as it would be down at head office in Jerusalem. But there's another thing running alongside that is that some of the people who want to pursue that culture or that religion actually pursue it with great concentration. So there's both a diluting of it and also some people pursuing it with great fervour and enthusiasm. And that's exactly where we run into today's story, Acts 15. Some people have been becoming Christians or followers of the way, as they were called, through the ministry of Paul and Barnabas. And then we read the first two verses of Acts 15. Certain people came down from Judea to Antioch. That's where this was all happening. And were teaching the believers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved. This brought Paul and Barnabas into sharp dispute and debate with them. So Paul and Barnabas were appointed, along with some others, to go up to Jerusalem to see the apostles and elders and to sort out this question. So do you see the conflict? These new believers right up at the north end of Israel were becoming Christians, and many of them weren't from a Jewish background. They were Gentiles. And one of the difficulties with them, that they were being embraced into the way, but that they weren't fitting in quite the way they could or should. Now, I'm going to do something that Chris showed us a wee while ago, and I was very impressed by it. I put some things on this table here. The culture of these people, these Old Testament and now followers of the way, was very strong. Here's a Father's Day card. They believed that in Abraham and Sarah, there was the beginning of a new family that would become a nation. And there was a physical sign that you were part of this, and it was the circumcision of the boys. So it was very clear whether you were inside or outside. A number of centuries later, through that whole story of Moses and the movement from Egypt to the Promised Land, they were given a land. And if you didn't live in it, you wanted to live in it. During that journey, they were given a law, a rule, and it would distinguish them from all other people so that you knew you were on the inside or the outside. They were given a royal family who would rule over them, and they could never believe that they could ever be ruled by anybody except someone from that family. They also believed that Jerusalem was incredibly special and was going to be the heart of everything. And not only was the law kept there, but that was where worship and sacrifice had to happen. And it actually was the place where God dwelt. Jerusalem has to be the focus of everything. And finally, my Star Wars Sharjah, as a pillar that they were given a future. The future would be a new kingdom, a new empire, and it would be ruled over by one who was yet to come, who would be the Messiah. And it would be the greatest of all kingdoms. Those were the pillars that were being challenged by this new movement. This new movement believed that the Messiah had come, but riding on a donkey and dying on a cross. This new group of people weren't being circumcised. They were not part of the family of Abraham and Sarah, at least not physically. They weren't embracing the law because they didn't know about it. And a whole lot of stuff in it about Sabbaths and about clothes and uncleanness and things didn't seem to apply to them. They were right at the edge of Israel, and the next wave of evangelism would take us way out of Israel, so they had no sense of wanting to submit to any kings of Israel or that royal family. They didn't feel any particular sense of belonging to this land. And they certainly didn't want to move to live in it. They had their own lands. And finally, the temple. Many of them probably didn't even know where Jerusalem was. But there was something else going on. They believed that the law of God, the living law of God, was being put in their hearts. It wasn't kept here at all. The living presence of God was being found among them and experienced among them. And that even though the living presence of God could equally be in the temple in Jerusalem, but the living presence of God could not be contained there or kept there. God was with them. These pillars, wow, that leaves a great big open space, doesn't it? What would happen next? The point of this sermon is for us to watch in amazement at how the Holy Spirit guides these followers of the way, these people seeped in their Old Testament tradition and culture, and what is he going to do with them? So let's read on, verse 3. The church sent Paul and Barnabas on their way. As they travelled through Phoenicia and Samaria, they told how the Gentiles had been converted. This news made all the believers very glad. And when they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and elders, to whom they reported everything God had done through them. It's all going well. But, verse 5, then some of the believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees stood up and said, the Gentiles must be circumcised and required to keep the law. The apostles and elders met to consider this question. After much discussion, Peter got up and spoke. You know that some time ago, God made a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe. Peter had been to visit a Roman centurion and he had become a believer. Continuing, God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did to us. He did not discriminate between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith. Verse 11. We believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved, just as they are. You see, the scales are beginning to tip. Verse 12. The whole assembly became silent as they listened then to Barnabas and Paul telling about the signs and wonders God had done among the Gentiles. And when they finished, James spoke up. He said, listen to me. Peter has described to us how God first intervened to choose a people for his name from the Gentiles. And then he quotes the words of the Old Testament. And here's the words he quotes, verse 15. The Lord says, after this I will return and rebuild David's fallen tent. Its ruins I will rebuild and I will restore it, that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who bear my name. Verse 19. It is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. He goes on to say, we will send them a letter telling them they don't have to be circumcised to be part of Abraham's family, and they don't have to follow the law. Incredible courage for these people to give way on those things that are so central to who they have been for centuries. Isn't it strange that they had never spotted those words from the Old Testament before about the Gentiles? But sometimes that happens. Sometimes it takes a crisis in our world or in our faith or in the life of the church for us to begin to search again and to see things that we've never noticed before. Examples, William Wilberforce started to talk about the awfulness of slavery. That was just assumed to be normal. Then people began to see things in the Bible that they'd never seen before. Emmeline Pankhurst, when she started to campaign for women's suffrage, suddenly people began to see things in the Bible about women and equality that they'd never seen before. What about our recent conflicts? About race? Do you think there's stuff that we might still yet find in Jesus, what he actually said and did, that might begin to change us? What about the other conflicts that are around us at the minute, like gender, like poverty, like sexuality, hope, wealth inequality, educational opportunity, health, the environment and climate change? We've barely begun to understand these things. Never mind set about the changes that are required. But the challenge for us is twofold. One is to see, are there stuff in our Bible and our faith that we just haven't seen before, that we yet need to uncover and grasp? And is there something that we need to see in the followers of the way that we read about in Acts and how they managed to embrace this conflict and find their way through it? The kindness and the grace with which they did it. I think today, in these precious moments of this summer, we need again, and maybe for much longer than that, we need to be inspired by these followers of the way. And let's even redefine what we think of as the way, because quite often we think of it as the way we were. Another movie, Chris. But maybe it needs to be more rather than the way we were, to the way we might go. I definitely didn't make this up, but it's great. Do not go where the path doth lead. Instead, go where there is no path and leave a trail. Holy Spirit of God, would you fall afresh on us? Give us courage to face the conflicts that are ahead of us and around us. Give us grace to listen to one another. Give us love, sacrificial love, that will help us reach out to those who feel they are on the outside. And would you make the changes in us that allow these conflicts, these situations, to be transformed forever? Let's continue in that sense of prayer and ask Michelle, would you lead us in the song that you taught us at the beginning of the service? Thank you.
Thank you for listening. To hear previous weeks and for more information, go to beaverparish.co.uk/sermons.